Hello and welcome to Southern Conference, SoCon Podcast, where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. Here, as always, with Will. Contrary to popular belief, neither of us are dead. Will, you want to say what's up?
Man, I'm glad to be back. You know, I just want to get into something kind of quick here. I'm going to speak for Cole, being the medical guy of the podcast. Cole did suffer some severe laryngeal inflammation. He had laryngitis for a few weeks. Overstrained his voice watching each issue, absolutely just beat the piss out of Western Carolina. He's seen a lot of bad things from Colaway this year. He has seen some good things, however, one good thing at least. But he is better now. Like I said, I'm the medical guy of the podcast, so it's just good to see him back. I told him, you know, he needs to rest his voice, maybe stay away from alcohol. Dry January for Cole, so very proud of him. Man, I'm happy to be back. For real, all BS aside, that wasn't BS. Cole did have bad laryngitis. We are back. So, man, I'm ready. If you kind of want to talk about what we're going to do today, I will kind of tell them, I guess, you know, we do have an interview lined up next week. It's probably one of our biggest interviews, a really, really cool story, and I'm looking forward to it. Cole, you kind of want to add on anything?
Man, dry January is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life. Been having dreams about just drinking Miller Lite. And, you know, a little bit of laziness coming to that as well. Dude, it's just been hard recently, you know, with everything going on in the new year. Get one of these podcasts out, and, you know, why do I want to talk about the Catamounts right now?
Exactly.
Yeah, kind of today we're going to do something a little different. One good thing and one bad thing about conference play, or like the season for each team so far. We each have five teams. Will, do you want to start us off? Whichever team you feel like, you know, you want to talk about first?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go off the bat with Citadel. I think we're going to, I guess we can just go bottom to top kind of thing with this. Citadel right now, there's not much plus for Citadel. I kind of had a hard time writing this earlier. The plus being started off the year with the 15-point win against Pittsburgh. Many people, you know, we did think Citadel was going to have something this year. But, you know, you get Hayden Brown, preseason player of the year. We did think this team was going to have what it takes potentially to maybe make a little run in March. However, their offense has shown glimpses of being good or even great at the beginning of the year. You know, you saw with the Pittsburgh game, the first half of the Duke game, they looked great. And then their only win in the Southern Conference against UNCG. However, the only win in their conference play, like I just said, against Greensboro is when Hayden Brown had 24 and 15 rebounds. This is something you can't do every night. You can't keep leaning on this guy to do it all. You got to have some help somewhere. They have no bench, which is very difficult. I guess the positive outlook here for any Citadel fan is that you did get that first win under your belt. You know what it takes to get a win. However, they've proven Division I wins this year are very hard to come by. Second thing, let's kind of go to the negatives. There's a lot of bad going on with Citadel basketball. Offensively, the team doesn't look like it typically does. You typically see them hitting 100 points some games, 90 points, upwards of 80 points every game. They've been leaning on the back of Hayden Brown almost too much. Like I said, they don't have a bench. Excuse me, no one's really playing with him. It's basically just him. And I understand that he seems to be the only positive thing from this team. However, I just don't believe there's other players that can do anything to help him out. He was the preseason player of the year, and yes, he's a great player, but he hasn't proven really anything to me personally. I think there's other great players in the conference that have just played better than he has this year. The shots for Citadel don't seem to be falling. I feel like they're living and dying by the three, and they really haven't lived by the three this year at all. They seem to be dying by it. Whoever Citadel gets to play in the first round, if I do think it's just going to be an easy win for whoever they get matched up against. It's going to be the 10-7 game, and I think it'll be very comfortable for whoever gets that 7 seed. Because looking right now, I do think Citadel's going to be that 10 seed.
Yeah, Hayden Brown hasn't been the player of the year. I just wanted to mention, you know, his UTC game, 34 minutes, does not make a shot from the field. Eight rebounds, almost fouls out, four turnovers. So he's almost looked human. You know, he kind of has that Superman look to him, Superman build, but he's looked human so far. Yeah. In conference play. I'll go ahead and throw my first team out there. VMI, a team that's really had, you know, highs and lows so far, I think, in the conference play. For my one good thing, I have beating Wofford and Furman back to back. You know, you go to Spartanburg at Wofford, you beat them Jake Stevens has a great game in that one. You kind of slow down BJ Mack, a guy that's looked really well. You know, they kind of do their thing there. And then, you know, that next Saturday you get Furman. You beat them in Lexington and you're 2-0 and you've beat two of the best teams in the conference, you know.
Yeah.
Almost by double digits in both games. You've got to be feeling high there. And one bad thing is I'm going to say that loss at home against UNCG where they got beat by like 20 almost. You really have to win that one, especially at home. You got to defend home court if you're VMI. And they just have kind of been inconsistent. I will say last night, Honor Huff, it's a 5'10", 155-pound freshman, scored his career high 21. Mm-hmm. But somebody did ask me also regarding that VMI team. They said, if you could see one guy in the SoCon, you know, play anywhere else next year in the SoCon, where would you, you know, who would you like to see? And I will say this now, Trey Bonham, man, that guy would look really good in purple and gold, you know, the WCU across his chest maybe. but he's, you know, a big part of that team. And when they play through him, like they did last night, 16 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, they win games. And when they choose to limit his minutes for some reason, they play worse. But I think him and Honor Huff, you know, a very undersized backcourt for this league, but they're playing well. You want to roll into your second team?
Yeah, I definitely will. So my second team, speaking of Wofford, is going to be Wofford. Wofford is playing great ball right now. They've rattled off 3 wins in a row as they're heading into the Furman game. The Furman game is typically their biggest game of the year. That's their biggest rival. They show great basketball times, including a win against Georgia. They're 1-1 against the SEC this year. BJ Mack and sophomore guard Max Klesmet lead the way with almost averaging 16 points apiece every night. I do want to say that they had a big win in Johnson City after they started off the Southern Conference play 0-2. So coming into Johnson City, they really clobbered ETSU. So that was nice, kind of gave them a bit of confidence. Good news for Wofford is good news for Wofford is when they finish off the year, they have 7 games in February. 5 of them I do think are very, very, very winnable, with I think only ETSU and Chattanooga being the 2 games that I'm like a little questionable about. And I may just be seeing, you know, blue and gold glasses right now with ETSU. But they do have to play them in Spartanburg. So truly though, 5 of their last 7 games to finish the year do seem very, very winnable. They did kind of start off, they kind of have gone through the gauntlet of SoCon play so far. However, I do think Wofford fans have the right to be a little worried as their team does seem to be pretty unpredictable. A slow start to start the year in the conference season against VMI, a loss that no one really saw coming. And then Chattanooga, they found themselves in a hole at 0-2. Then they went to ETSU, you know, kind of clobbered us, like I said earlier. But still having to play Furman twice and then travel to Chattanooga, I do think Wofford could easily be 1-2 or even 0-3 after these games. With some questionable guard play, I don't know. It's almost every game that either one of the guards play well or two of the guards play well, or they just play horrible. Like, they don't play well at all. You never know what's really going to happen. BJ Mack seems to be the only thing that's been very consistent for them this year. With some questionable guard play, like I said, Wofford should be needing to get that together before heading to Asheville March. I don't think this team necessarily has what it takes to go through the full gauntlet of Asheville, but I do think they're on teams' radars to definitely look out for. You never know what you're going to get. And I do remember talking to Bill Hodges back when he was playing at ETSU saying, Wofford's defense is one of the hardest defenses. They run a lot of great sets. Their offense is tough to guard. Granted, you know, they'd have Fletcher at that time, but still, even that championship game when they didn't have Fletcher against us, they played great defense, and you never know what Wofford's going to have. I mean, they definitely showed that year when they upset UNCG and made it all the way to the finals. So, Cole, you have anything to add with Wofford?
Man, Wofford's a really good team. Losing Messiah Jones hurts them. They're going to have somebody step up there. If they play like they play against my Catamounts last Saturday, they could be cutting down the nets in March. And mentioning my Catamounts, you know, usually if it was a good part, I would wait, you know, hype them up for the end. But I'm going to go ahead and get them just out of the way. One good thing, I have beating UTC at home. That was a big game. You know, really, I know people are going to say, oh, they didn't have David Jean Baptiste. That's still a really good team without David Jean Baptiste. Yeah. And I think UTC just has problems coming into Ramsey for whatever reason. So I think it was good for Chattanooga to just go ahead and get that game out of the way. And it's like, oh, we can go ahead and drop one. Don't have to have the pressure of being undefeated in conference. Malachi Smith played a great game. I will say he shot like 24 something free throws, which was insane. And some of the calls were 21 free throws, sorry. Yeah. And some of the calls were just like borderline. But they held that Chattanooga team to 59 points. And, you know, coming off of that, I was like, oh man, you know, we got something going. That being our one good thing of the season so far. And literally my one bad thing that I listed, I said the rest of the conference season. We could go game to game, man. Last Saturday, they let a guy, Luke Turner for Wofford, put 20 on us. He's averaging freaking 4 points a game. And then even to say that, we kind of almost shot the entire conference in the foot, man. We let Mike Bothwell kind of show up again. He hadn't been himself recently, almost a shell of his former self. Hadn't scored 20 points in a game since they played Presbyterian on the 21st. Hadn't scored 20 points in a game since before the new year. You know, he had some 17s, 15s, and then comes and puts 26 on us. And it's just like, oh, Mike, you know, welcome back to, you know, fill your shoes again. Realize who you are as a player. They destroyed my Catamounts on Wednesday. So really, you know, I would almost be fine to just play out the rest of our 13 games. Thank Nick Robinson, some of the grad transfers that have come in, and really try to get back down to the fundamentals of basketball, because I think that that's where the team's lacking right now. Do you want to roll into your third team?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mercer right now. I do think one positive thing for Mercer is that they are sitting at 4-2 in the conference. I think they're third, only a full game back from Chattanooga right now. They've showed to be really good at times with their big men down low. Hase is leading the team in points, rebounds, and assists. However, they've proven to be a pretty tough team to beat whenever he plays well. They've also proven to be a tough team to beat when their guards start to play with them. You have Jalen Johnson, you have Natalia Alvarez, who's hurt. When this team plays well together and the shots start to fall, they're very, very hard to beat. They've proven to be able to make big shots, which is something that a Southern Conference team really needs. And going into March, so it is important just to keep that in mind. And I think now, did they lose to UNCG last year? Was it in the conference championship game?
They were the second 7 seed in a row after Wofford.
Correct.
Prior to go back to back.
So that's exactly. And that's kind of my point here is this team has been there. They kind of know what it takes to get there. I don't think they fear too much. So I was really actually impressed with them when they just played ETSU this week. They showed great signs. However, going into the bad part, I don't think Mercer has really gone through the gauntlet of the Southern Conference yet. I think, you know, their Furman game was postponed. I think a Chattanooga game was postponed already. So they've really missed two of the giants of the league. They beat up on teams like Samford, VMI, Citadel, Greensboro, who haven't proven themselves to be a contender at all this year. They did prove to be hurting without Alvarez right now with the loss against ETSU. With the occasional lack of depth, I would be a little worried to be a Mercer fan right now with games against Chattanooga and Furman coming up. Both, they still have to go home and away for both of those. If they go 2-2 against them, that's a massive win, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to go 2-2. It's more likely 1-3 or 0-4 against them. Jalen Johnson's been good at times. He's also been very inconsistent, very bad at times. Their big men have been slightly inconsistent as well. If they do look to make another run like they did last year in March, they're going to have to play well together and they're going to have to get the shots to fall.
Yep. If Alvarez could come back for them, I think he has a broken foot, so I doubt it. But they're missing that third gear without him on the court. I think that's what's going to separate them from the top four. But I do think they're kind of the cream of the middle of the pack, if you want to say that. And, you know, you mentioned one of the teams they've beat this year, Samford. I'll go ahead and give you one good thing for them. I didn't even list the game. Mm-hmm. They've only won one conference game. I just said Quace Glover. Like, this dude, man, if he was on any other team in the conference, if he was playing that Malachi Smith role at Chattanooga, like, he might be player of the year. I think playing down there at Samford's going to hurt him a little bit. He's averaging 18 points a game, 4.5 assists, and doing it on 45% from the floor. I didn't realize he's only shooting 28 from three. And Logan Dye is playing really well for them as well. But, man, they just – they lost by 20 at Wofford. Lost a close game to Mercer, close game to ETSU. VMI dogged them the other night. But the real thing, man, they haven't beat anybody other than my Catamounts, who they beat by 25. But, I mean, Me and four guys from the rec center could probably go play the Catamounts close right now. So, you know, Samford, I was high on them coming to the conference play, and they've kind of let off a lot. I would say that they've got to find, you know, they need to have like a look in the mirror moment. You got anything to say about the Bulldogs?
I will say, I think they kind of tricked us this year when they started off the year beating Oregon State, a team I think who went to, what, the Elite Eight last year? Or Sweet 16 was it, I'm not sure, but Oregon State's 3-14 right now. So proved not to be a big win. So Quez Glover, he is the guy. He's very impressive. He impressed me. I do say a negative has been Wesley Cardet. I think a guy with that caliber, he hasn't really stepped into those big shoes that people expect them to fill.
He sucks, man. He's not playing good basketball right now. I don't even think he scored the other night in their last game. It's just not been pretty.
I think we talked earlier, he kind of has a role. I don't think he's not the guy that Quez is. He's not going to be getting the 20 points, whatever, a game. You know, he needs to solidify that 8 points, 6 points, you know, 5 rebounds, 5 assists kind of thing. And I think when he does that, they play well. But I guess with that, I'm going to lead into ETSU. Good news is we're still alive. We're alive right now. We're 7 games in, and we're still kind of in the running. You know, we've proven to play some really, really strong basketball this year, I think. The game at Furman, although it was a loss, really did impress me. Furman couldn't keep up with us and the way we ran the ball, the tempo that we played with. I was impressive. I was impressed by the way we battled back all the way to the very end of the game to the final whistle. I was very impressed with Mercer the other night. The Brewer brothers, it's nice to have them playing well when they do play well. I think LA hasn't had quite the year that he expected to have, that everyone else expected him to have after the way he played last year. But I tell you what, whenever our bench comes in and our bench is playing well and the Brewer brothers, you know, put a few points on the board, you still have David Sloan as an option too. I've always been a David Sloan critic, but he's been a great plus this year for us. Sloan has proven to hit the big shots when we need him. He stepped up against Georgia. He stepped up last night against Mercer. He tied the game at one point. He's impressed me a lot. Winning these two in a row have really, I think, could really benefit the team right now. I think we go into playing Citadel and UNCG. If we can get 4 games in a row right there, the confidence is going to be through the roof. I'm looking forward to seeing what this team has to come. I'm very impressed with Mojave Osara. I think he's potential to be freshman of the year. I mean, he's an absolute animal. He's not, like I said, he's not going to put the 20 points on the board either, and the 10 points on the board maybe, but the kid has what it takes. He's a strong guy. It's almost funny because I feel like when you're watching ETSU, these guys are a bunch of athletic guys, but when Mohab's out there, he's not as quick, I'd say, as the other guys, but he's very strong. And he's a smart player. However, the good news is that, yeah, we are sitting at fourth in the conference at 4-3 right now. However, that's also the bad news. We still have to go on the road to Wofford. We still have to play Furman at home. We still have to play Chad at home. We still haven't been tested by Greensboro. So there's still a lot of questions in the air. We seem to be still very, very weak down low after the loss of Silas Adeke. Charlie Weber stepped in, and I did think he played a few games very well. He ended up getting injured before the Georgia game, came back, and he hasn't done much. So truly, whenever a team has a big guy down low, like BJ Mack, when we played Wofford, it proves what the big weakness is. We're living and dying by the three that game, and I think we're taking a lot of bad shots too. The loss at home to Wofford was one that really deflated a lot of fans, I think. So hopefully we can come get more of these wins that we've had. Like I said, I think my big worry is that when we do play a big man, we're going to be in big trouble. We can't always rely on the Brewer brothers to bail us out like they did against Mercer the other night. We need to figure something out before we head into Asheville, because relying on that outside shooting, like I said, you either live with it or you die by it. So that's kind of what I got in ETSU. Do you have anything on ETSU, Cole?
Man, I think they might figure it out there towards the end and make a run at the championship. But it's so packed right now. There's 4 teams with 4 wins.
Absolutely. It's very packed. And I see the same thing, but I'm also, you know, I always do see blue and gold. So,
rolling off of that, I'm going to go to another team with a brand new coach first year. Mm-hmm. In the SoCon, UNCG, another, you know, seems like every team in the conference right now, they have like 2 good games in a row and you're like, oh man, they might be legit. And then they just fumble the bag. So for UNCG, they beat VMI and Wofford back to back. They beat VMI in Lexington. and then beat Wofford at home, and then they go down to Citadel and lose by 5. A game that they were pretty much in control of most of the game. They just find a way to lose it. UNCG, though, they've got DeMonte Buckingham, and that guy could be like one of those turns it on in March dudes. If he gets hot in March, UNCG is not a team I want to play. But, you know, they're just kind of going through different changes now, like the way they play. He shoots 44% from three. And I couldn't tell you the last time. I guess it would have to be before Isaiah Miller, when it was Francis Alonso, was the last time they had a star that actually could shoot. But that's really all I've got on them. They're kind of, you know, stuck there. They're 2-4 down there with Western. But they're another middle of the pack, 5-7 is where they could finish in SoCon. You want to go on to your last team?
Yeah, my last one's going to be Furman, sitting at number 2 in the conference right now. They only sit a half game back against Chattanooga. Furman looked really good many times this year, especially with the way that ACC power, you know, Louisville. Mike Wathwell, Alex Hunter, and Jalen Slauson, all three of them have looked really, really good this year. I think Mike Wathwell leads this team. He kind of leads the way. You can almost guarantee him getting 15 to 20 points a night. Already going through somewhat of a gauntlet with ETSU and Chat. Furman has been playing with a lot of confidence, and they should be. Hopefully, you know, if they do get this win against Wofford, then I think their confidence is going to peak, and they're going to, you know, you never want to go into March with a hot Furman team. However, as I do say that, I kind of realize I'm contraindicating myself a little bit. Okay, you know where this is going, don't you, Cole? The game against ETSU, it proved a lot to me about thinking that Furman may be a hoax. They didn't have the athleticism, it seemed like, to run with ETSU so early in the game. So they did try to slow the game a bit. I do think they got bailed out by a few calls, and they did kind of get bailed out by having one player play the game of his career, which is something that no one really expects. And I do understand this is basketball and this is sports and this is what happens. However, I do think those few calls kind of help change the direction of the game a little bit for Furman. I'd also be a little bit worried that you lost to Chattanooga the way now you only lost by 2, but you lost without David Jean Baptiste playing. David Jean Baptiste has proven he's one of the best players in the conference. And I mean, he can put up 24 if he wants, you know, even 30 maybe. I do think Furman fans, here it is, Cole, here it is. Furman fans should be worried because Bob Ritchie hasn't proven anything in Asheville his entire career. Can he win in Asheville? Is it possible? I don't know. I would be worried. History seems to repeat itself here, Cole. I don't think they're going to be the team to beat in Asheville.
Man, my way too early prediction about 2 nights ago was them actually cutting down the nets. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and roll into this last team. I like the way that we did this here. We saved 1 and 2 for last.
I like it.
Chattanooga, the team that everybody thinks, you know, prior to almost a little more than a week ago when they ran into Colouie and got stopped, a team that everybody was ready to declare, you know, the next mid-major to go on a run in the tournament. They've had so many good things this year. I will say, you know, you mentioned them beating Furman without David Jean Baptiste. That was my one good thing. They did get to play in the roundhouse, but, you know, if you can hold off a really good Furman squad without your number 2 option, that's big. Yeah. And then, you know, they went down to Wofford and beat Wofford. They've done a lot of really good things this year other than losing to the Catamounts. And that was my one bad thing. You know, you can't – if you want to win this conference, that's a good testament is going in there and beating Western Carolina. I've never looked at that, but I think I might after this podcast is over and see how many times a team that ended up winning – at the end of the year, came into Colouie and beat the Catamounts, because I feel like that's a good testament, because it's just a hard place to play. Do you have anything to say about Chattanooga? They're a, you know, prolific team right now.
You know, I've been a borderline Chat fan all year, by the way I've been talking about them. But when they stepped on the next of ETSU and won by 30 down to the roundhouse, it proved a lot to me. You know, that was their SoCon opener, and then they beat us the way they did. They're a great team. Malachi Smith, can't say enough about him. He's averaging 21.5 a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. It's the team to beat, and we knew it was going to be. So it'll be interesting to see if they can finish off the year going over in Asheville and winning the thing. They close out the year with not too bad of a schedule in February. They got 9 games, it looks like, right now. And you got Furman on the – you got Furman on the road, ETSU on the road. But of those games, you got Mercer twice, you got Samford twice, you got Western again, you got Greensboro again. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. But again, I hate being sounding as positive towards Chat, but dang, they're a good team.
Yeah, you mentioned seeing what they can do, and you mentioned want to talk about maybe some of the big games coming up next week or, you know, after this airs. UTC is going to VMI tomorrow, 1 o'clock. What do you think about that? That's going to be, you know, chest check time for Chattanooga. That's one that they've got to win.
That is one they got to win. And also, you know, it's a big game for VMI. You'd like to think if VMI does win this game, they can get the confidence to start making a run. Who knows? I do think that the game tomorrow is going to be Furman at Wofford. If Wofford can somehow find this win, they could set back Furman a little bit and really open that race again for the rest of the Southern Conference. I'll tell you what, we talk about it every year, but the Southern Conference is open as it ever has been. So who knows what's going to happen, but I'm excited to see what's going to happen, man.
Yeah, really. I think besides, you know, maybe the four teams hanging out at the bottom, Samford, Citadel, Western, UNCG, I think any of those other VMI, ETSU, Wofford, Mercer, Furman, Chattanooga, I think all could finish first. And if not finish first in the regular season, beat somebody else when it matters and cut down the nets. Are you looking at any other big matchups for coming into next week? Wofford, Chattanooga again, VMI, Furman again.
Wofford, Chattanooga, any game with Chattanooga is a big one, but I do think, you know, ETSU and Greensboro is going to be a big thing too. We haven't been tested by Greensboro yet. Greensboro to me almost seems like a mystery team. In the past few years, I guess it's been highlighted because the league loved Isaiah Miller so much. So you don't hear much about Greensboro anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. You know, they're slowing down games. People are only scoring 60 points against them. They're only scoring 60-something points. So that'll be interesting to see what they can do at Freedom Hall. I will ask you this question, though, Cole. Right now, who's your player of the year?
Man, it's Malachi Smith. I don't know how he did win preseason player of the year. That guy is at a different level from everyone else in the league right now. Jake Stevens is really good. If VMI could somehow win or finish second, I think Jake Stevens deserves that award. But Malachi Smith legitimately could have a career in the league. And I don't think you can say that about anybody else in the conference right now.
Where do you put Quez Glover in the conversation?
For player of the year?
Yeah.
Man.
Can you?
You cannot. They're 1-5.
I agree. But, I mean, that shows nothing with the SoCon putting Hayden Brown, I think, preseason player of the year over Malachi. I do think, though, this is a Malachi Smith saying, all right, you voted him preseason player of the year. Let me show you what I can do. And he's done it all year. I agree with you 100%. But, yeah, I mean, you're 1-5 in the conference. No matter how great of a player you are, if your team is not winning, are you that valuable?
I think the only other real player that we could talk about as far as teams that are actually going to be finishing up there as well is Jalen Slauson, because that guy has been on a tear. Yeah. And I watched his game when they played at Winthrop and he had their first triple-double in Furman history. If they choose to play through that guy, he can do things that no one else on the basketball court at his size can do, which means a lot. And, you know, looking at next week, I will go ahead and say this, just for all our Catamount listeners out there, Wednesday night, Saturday night, those might be our last two wins of the year. We're playing at the Citadel and we're hosting Samford. So let's enjoy those, especially Saturday. I'll be up in Colowee for that one. Come find me in Ramsey. Let's make sure we enjoy that win. I think we can beat that Samford team. You got anything on ETSU for the week?
You know, like I said, I think it's big that we win against Citadel tomorrow. And then if we can somehow find a way to, you know, to win against G, like I said, I don't know too much about them. DeMonte Buckingham seems to be a guy that people have been talking about this year. It's a guy we kind of previewed this, I think on our first podcast back. He's a really athletic guy. He'd be a player that could get really hot. Like I said, though, if we can rattle off 2, 3, 4, 5 wins in a row, confidence is a scary thing when a team has it. So I'm looking forward to see what we can do, man.
Yeah, and you mentioned Buckingham, only shooting the ball 9 times a game, about 10, and he's scoring 13. So it's not like he's getting those Isaiah Miller shot attempts either. And, you know, he's still kind of in that conversation as far as a great player for them. 7.5 rebounds as well for him a game, which is a lot for a guard. You know, I'm kind of out of things to say here, Will. We've kind of done a little different podcast, no deep dive into any specific games, but we kind of wrapped up what we thought so far the conference season. Do you have anything you want to add? Anything we didn't talk about?
Not really, man. I'm just looking forward to getting this podcast out today. And then, of course, getting the podcast with the interview out next week. Looking forward to people kind of already been guessing who are guys. I'm not going to give the name out, but it's a big guess. So I'm looking forward to it. And hey, man, Southern Conference Podcast, man. SoCon Pod is back.
Hey, before we leave, I will ask you this. Unrelated to Southern Comfort, who's winning the Super Bowl?
The freaking Tennessee Titans, man. What type of question is that, dog? Let's go, man. I'm gonna be over. I'm not going to the game tomorrow. But when we win, I'll be going to the AFC Championship game, so y'all can follow through the Twitter feed. We may have a live episode after the AFC Championship game. Broadway's gonna be burning down. I'm looking forward to seeing what the town's gonna look like tomorrow after we beat Joe Burrow. He may have to retire to how bad we beat them tomorrow. King Henry's back. Hey, listen, you heard it here first. 38-10.
38-10.
38-10, maybe 38-20. Maybe 38-20, but 38-10 most likely.
Joe Burrow, that dude, man. That's all I got to say. This has been Southern Comfort, the SoCon Podcast. Thank you for listening.